All right, let's take our Bibles once again and turn to 1 John 1. 1 John 1. It's amazing. I did not even consider this until I was getting up right now. We're looking at the book of 1 John, and I'm looking at Proverbs. And last week in Proverbs, we considered he who is faithful, the faithful man who can find. And today in Proverbs, we considered the just man walketh in his integrity. Now, I prepared a message out of 1 John 1, 6 to 10, and this is what I've entitled it, The Faithful and Just. So this is a continuation by the Spirit of God's good providence of what we've been considering concerning the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1. I'll look in verses 8 and 9. 10, verses 8, 9, 10. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now let me tell you, the most wonderful thing that Almighty God would do for a sinner, it is to have mercy upon him, compassion. That's what he told Moses. When Moses asked, "Show me your glory," this is what the Lord said, "I'm going to cause all my goodness to pass before you." And he said, "I'm going to have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'm going to have compassion on whom I'll have compassion." As I've said before, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, in Romans chapter 9, says this concerning what the Lord had said back in Exodus 33, "So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." Now let me tell you the greatest blessing that Almighty God would ever bestow upon a sinner is to do something for him that sinner could not do for himself, and then tell him about it. In regenerating grace, Almighty God, through his Holy Spirit, tells the vessels of his mercy what he has done for them. And they then know, God has had mercy on me. Now, if there's anything that I want to know, this is what I want to know. How can I be clean before God? Now, I know according to the will of God, of the Word of God, I know it's not by my will. That's what he said. It's not of him that willeth. I know that. I don't want to be deceived. I've told you before, we're all going to stand before God. And I don't want to learn too late. Matthew 7 declares that many, many, many. How many? I don't know. But the Lord said, Matthew 7, many will say unto me in that day, "We prophesied in your name. We cast out devils in your name. We've done many wonderful works in your name." And he said, "And I will say unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." I don't want to find out that I've been deceived, that I've been lied to. And I pray this morning, Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, teach us. Tell me what you have to say. Because I can tell you this, what the Lord has to say is the only thing that's going to stand. Last time, this is what we considered. Verse 6 and 7. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. What can wash away sins? One thing. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have fellowship with God, that we've been redeemed by His blood, that we're robed in His glorious righteousness, that we are in a state of friendship with God, being found in the Lord Jesus Christ, and walk. That is, if the regulation of the conduct of our life is darkness, if it's darkness in that we're holding to a false gospel. And what is the definition of a false gospel? I'm going to sum it up real quickly. I told you before, there's only two messages being preached in all the world. It's either salvation that God offers and wants to save you, if you'll let Him, by exercising your free will, which you know I've just read a scripture that refutes that. John 1:13-14, read it. It's either something that you have to do, and the scripture says, Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness that we have done. Now, what does that leave for us to do or can do? Nothing. It's either free will by man or it's free grace by God. And that's one of the two. It can't be both. If we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in the darkness believing a lie, then we're shown to be liars. We're shown to be liars. Or if we say that we believe the gospel of God's sovereign and free grace in Christ, what are you saying if you say you believe that? Well, we believe that man was totally ruined by the fall, that man is totally depraved. We believe that God Almighty, according to Ephesians 1:4, has chosen a people from before the foundation of the world in Christ. That's what the scripture says. We believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, for whom did He die? He died for the elect. He died for the sheep. John 10:15. I lay down my life for the sheep. That's who He died for. And every ounce of blood that He shed, the efficacy. What does that mean? It means it got the job done. All that the Father giveth me, John 6:37, shall come to me. We believe in irresistible grace. Almighty God is going to give His people a new heart. Psalm 110:3 says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Is God going to save His people? Yes, sir. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And we believe in the preservation of the saints. You who are kept by the power of God through faith unto the day of salvation. Is that what we believe? Yes, sir. If a man says, I have fellowship with God, I believe the doctrines of grace, and walk in darkness. Brother Mahan summed it up about as succinctly, I guess, as it can be said. That is, if the manner of our life is unaffected by the grace we claim to possess, that is to say, we walk in a manner that is inconsistent with the truth that we believe. The general tenor of our life is one wherein we take pleasure in the ways of wickedness and the shadiness of the cares of this world. What I'm saying is this. I say I believe the gospel, but it makes no difference in my attitude toward God's worship, toward God's gospel. We lie. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. The impartation, the imparting of spiritual life is not a vain or an empty act on God's part. That is an act that has no effect on the walk. Almighty God said that His people hear His voice in the preaching of the gospel. They are known by Him. They're known as the gift from the Father. They're known as being purchased by His blood. They're known as willing servants in the day of His regenerating power. Do God's people, regenerated by the grace of God, do they want to follow the Lord? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, they do. They're made willing in the day of God's power. What about before they were regenerated? No, they don't want to. Why? They don't know Him. Why? They're dead. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Now, I'm going to try to give myself a little comfort here, because I'm going to tell you something. There's enough inconsistency in me to scare me to death, Ben. If I say I believe the gospel and I find myself walking in a spirit of inconsistency, well, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm guilty. And if my life before God is based upon my ability to maintain a perfect consistency, I'm in trouble. So what is it to walk in the light as He is in the light? Here's what the scripture says, Ephesians 5:8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now here's my question for me, and you can get in on this if you want to. How does a child of light walk? You tell me how a child of light walks. I come to hear the gospel. I come to preach the gospel. And my mind has wandered enough, Chuck. I mean, I've thought of things that were just so distracting and distracted in the service before. And I think, Lord, have mercy. What have I done? What is it to walk as a child of light? If we be found enlightened by the Spirit of God to see and to know, to understand, as the Lord has revealed, that sin is our problem, then we walk in the light of God's revelation of what we are. When the Scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, I'm going to tell you something right now. That's me. If I recognize walking as a child of light, that Almighty God has shown me what my problem is, and that I can do nothing about it. I cannot not sin. I can't do it. I just cannot not sin. Say something to me and make me mad, and I'm telling you, I'm mad. And I try to not be mad. I try to get over it, okay? Just give me a second. Give me a second, and I'll be okay. But here's how a child of light walks. He walks recognizing what his problem is. Here's what the Apostle Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Somebody say, well, if you walk in the light, then you'll be about 6 inches off the ground, and you'll never think a bad thought. I'll tell you this, I don't know a believer like that. You show me a believer, and I'll show you, I can refute that with Scripture. Job says, I abhor myself. That's walking in light. I know what I am. Salvation must be by grace, because I'm a sinner. I'll tell you another thing about walking in light. We are ever found to be coming to Christ by faith for forgiveness. He that cometh to me. Christ in the light of God's word is shown to be my only hope. Lord, forgive me. Let me just read. You stay where you are. I'll read this to you. Let me just tell you, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, how a child of light walks. Here's a child of light. Here's how he walks. Psalm 51, 1 to 3. Have mercy upon me, O God. This is David. What had he done? He'd fallen into sin with Bathsheba. You think his problem was sin? Sure was. Yes, sir. What did God do? Send him a preacher. And Nathan told him, he said, you're the man. You're the man. But the Lord has put away your sin. And David went to his grave with this attitude. Now here's how a child of light walks. He knows what his problem is, and he knows the only hope that he's got. That's how a child of God walks. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. So when the world would tell you, well, I tell you what, if you're a child of light, then you're going to walk around, you know, you're going to be above everybody else and you're not going to have any problems with sin. That's a lie. That's a lie. Here's how a child of light walks. He walks in total dependence upon the Lord. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, revealing Himself and who we are, the Scripture says, then we have fellowship one with another. We have fellowship with Him. We have fellowship with other believers who are sinners, saved by the grace of God. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us. That's continual. I need cleansing right now, and I can tell you, if God allows me to live till tonight or tomorrow, I'm going to have cleansing then too, Pat. This is how a believer walks. Oh, the indescribable virtue of His blood. How immeasurable the love of God toward His sheep. Don't tell me how good I am. I know better, Mark. I know better than that. The only goodness I have is Him and His righteousness imputed to me that God Almighty accepts for Christ's sake. I know, Paul says, in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. We are unclean in ourselves. And there's one cure. I know it. Here's how a child of God walks. Here's how a child of light walks. The blood of Christ. Not my will, not my profession, not my continued reading of the Scriptures, not my... the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sins. And without His blood being applied to that needy sinner, I can tell you this, there is nothing but judgment and justice and wrath that Almighty God's going to spew out. We don't have anything to brag in, y'all. I'm going to tell you right now, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And let me ask you this. To whom is the blood of Jesus Christ applied? Who are they? Turn with me. You can hold your finger there. Turn with me to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. We've read this before. Ezekiel 36. Now this is what the Lord says concerning mercy and grace, that He's going to have mercy upon who? Ezekiel 36, verse 22. Therefore say unto the house of Israel. Now you do realize that natural, I've said this before, natural Israel is a picture, is a type of God's spiritual Israel. God's spiritual Israel is pictured. Was the nation of Israel a chosen nation out of the world, humanly speaking? Yes, they were. Yes, they were. And God has a chosen people, too, out of all nations, kindreds, tribes, and tongues, that He's going to show mercy. So when it says to the house of Israel, you look at that spiritually, because this, we're not looking at history right here. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine own holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And when the Lord says, I'm going to do something for my sake, that's because He chose to do it that way. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. Don't ever think that Almighty God, by His Holy Spirit, will ever allow His people to forget what they are in themselves. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, whom I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Now, this is what He said I'm going to do for you. I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. And all your filthiness from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Now here's what Almighty God said He's going to do. He said, for my sake, for my sake, for my honor, according to my will, according to my purpose, He said, I'm going to take you from among the heathen. And I'm going to gather you out of all the countries. I'm going to bring you into your own land. He said, I'm going to gather my people from where they are. All of them scattered. Scripture says in Ephesians, we looked at this last time a minute ago, Ephesians 1, 9 and 10, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are in earth, even in Him. And what did He say, I'm going to do for you? He said, now here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to gather you. Did they gather themselves? No. The Lord said, I'm going to gather you. And He said, I'm going to dethrone that stony heart that rules you. I'm going to take out that heart of stone. And I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a new spirit, a new mind. And you're going to know that I'm your God and you're my people. And He said, I'm going to sprinkle clean water. That clean water that he's talking about is none other than the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm going to wash you from all your filthiness in the blood of Christ. Revelation 1, verses 4 and 5 says this. Revelation 1, 4 and 5. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He promised that he was going to take out that heart that doesn't believe him, leave a man to himself, and he will not believe God. Why? He's dead. You know the problem we have being born in Adam? We don't believe that dead is dead. We don't believe that. The Lord said, you're dead. You're dead. I can hear with this ear. But for God to give me a hearing ear, he's got to give me a new heart. Almighty God said, I'm going to take out that stony heart of rebellion. I'm going to give you a new heart. But here's a truth that we need to be reminded of. Though God's regenerated sheep know by faith that they have been cleansed by the blood of Christ and are not liable. Now listen to what I'm saying. They're not liable to the guilt, the penalty, and condemnation of sins. They're not liable for it. If Christ has paid the debt of his people, if Christ has paid the debt, how much do they owe? If Christ has paid the debt, what I'm saying is God's people know, according to the revelation of God's Spirit, that they have been cleansed, washed by the blood of Christ and are not liable, answerable to their guilt, their penalty, the penalty of their sin. They're not liable. So here's what Scripture says concerning us being sinners. Verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now hear me well. Hear me well. Though there has been, in regenerating grace, the imparting of spiritual life to God's people, when Almighty God regenerates a sinner, what happens? What happens? Life is imparted. A new heart. He said, I'm going to give you a new heart. But there's absolutely no change in this old nature. There's no change in this old nature. That's where the struggle comes in. That's where the war begins. Until Almighty God called me out of darkness, I didn't have a problem with myself. I thought I was doing pretty good. I went to church. Every time I came home from college, and Mama made me. I didn't want to disappoint my mama. So I went to church. I'm as good as the next person. There is no change. That's why Paul said, I see in me, that is in my flesh, in my old nature, there's no good thing. It never was there. But now he sees it. Now he knows it. Now he realizes it. In regenerating grace, there's an imparting. There's something put in to a believer. Life. There's a new nature. 1 John said, that which is born of God sinneth not. There's a new nature there that doesn't sin. But there's an old nature there that doesn't do anything but sin. And that's the battle. All of our corrupt pursuits and desires and affections that you had before you were converted, guess what? You still got them. Somebody said, well, I just don't, I just, I just don't think like I used to. According to God's word, you do. I have just as great a battles right now as I ever did. The grace of God does not change the old man. You know what's going to put that old man away? Death. Death. Who shall separate me from the body of this death? Paul said in Romans 7:24. The Lord will. In precious death, precious in sight of the Lord. Paul said in Romans 7:22-23, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." John Gill made this statement right here, and I thought, I think I can enter into a little bit of what he was saying. When Paul says, bringing me into captivity, I'm in this body, and as long as I'm in this body, Pat, I'm going to have to deal with sin. I know that. I know that. As long as I'm in this body, in this flesh, sin is with me. I know that. That's what David said that. I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. It's there. I know it is. But do you know, before the Lord regenerates his people, they're in bondage of sin. They're in the bondage of sin. Okay? Willingly. 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 It don't bother them. It don't bother them. But after regeneration, and this is what Mr. Gill said. He said the difference between a man that knows God and a man that doesn't know God. The man that doesn't know God, sin is all that's in him. A man that does know God, now a new life, new heart, new will, new love. He's been regenerated. He's a believer. God's given him a new nature. But he still has this old nature. And he sees he's in captivity. He can't get away from it because he's in this body. I just can't get away from it. I'm the problem. Whenever a man, a soldier, this is the part that Gill said. He said, if a soldier, a patriot of the United States government, a soldier, I'm talking about there's some real soldiers. There's some soldiers that love this country. If they were to be captured by the enemy, they may be there held against their will, but I'm going to tell you, in their heart, Freddie, they're still a patriot. They don't love that captivity. Before man's regenerated by the grace of God, he loves to rebel against God and doesn't even know he's doing it, thinks himself alive. But you give a man a new heart and regenerating grace, and Paul says concerning that law in his members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members, he said, it's there, I know it's there, but I don't love it. In this body I'm held here, but I tell you this, I have a new mind that loves God. The only thing that'll separate us is death. Flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. They're contrary one to the other. So you cannot do the things that you would. If we confess, verse 9, our sins, you will never think of all the things that you've done against God. Now you know some of them, but I'm talking about everything. You won't. If we confess what we are, we're sinners. If we confess our sins, he's faithful to his covenant. I will have mercy. Mercy is for sinners. I will have mercy. He's faithful and just to forgive us. Where does the justice of God come in the forgiveness of sin? Christ paid our debt. Christ paid the debt of his people. The debt's been paid. God is just. It's justly been paid, and in justice, he forgives our sins. It's right. It's right. Christ paid. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. The faithful and just God. Faithful to his promise. Faithful to his covenant. Faithful to the blood of Christ that's been shed for his people. When I see the blood that was shed for you, that paid your debt, that put away your sin, when I see the blood, and thanks be unto God he ever sees it, he said, I'll pass over you. May the Lord bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay.